Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheets, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notify bell and leave a rating and review on the podcast app and go to Patreon, give us money, and go to the shirt store and
buy shirts.
Buy our shirts. Did I cover everything?
Yeah, I think so. You're really eager to get through all of those plugs.
Oh,
as
man, we
as
have
possible
so
today.
Much news to
we
talk
do.
About today.
Do we have audio? You're not live. I'm live.
You're
I'm
live. Do we have audio?
Let's find out. Always the most anxiety inducing part of the whole show. We have audio. Yay!
Woo! Good job, Hilton. You get to keep your job another day.
Yay.
Anyways, like I said, welcome to Going In Raw. This is the dirt sheet version of the show.
Live.
Although these days, I sort of even stopped numbering the episodes in general.
I noticed that.
To make more room in the title, we got to YouTube better, man. We need to squeeze more pertinent information in our titles. Less tomfoolery, numbers. Who cares about numbers
anymore?
Well,
I care about numbers because there's milestones associated with numbers, like episode 500. That's kind of a deal.
It's so obscure, though, because we do, like, are our recap shows really that different than the dirt sheets? But yet the dirt sheets are numbered differently than the recap shows?
They're different.
They're not that different. We're all just talking about the same gibberish.
Well,
same
wrestling, yes. But
fantasy land fighting.
Recaps are dedicated to recapping programming, whereas dirt sheets is news, mat chat, debate.
Yeah,
different.
It's all just
same overall
about the same
topic.
Crap.
Yes.
Yeah,
but they're different.
You know what I did today?
You went to the gym. You told me that.
I did do that. My arms are heavy right now.
I went too.
No, I wasn't going to say
did
that.
Did you have eggs for breakfast?
Yeah, three of them.
And I had two
pieces of toast with peanut butter on it from
I had
protein.
A bagel.
I left my phone over there. A lot of people.
Are you going to be able to get through this whole show without playing with your phone?
A lot of people giving me problems.
Let's find out.
A lot of people giving me problems.
Challenge yourself.
How hungover were you on Sunday?
Not at all.
Really?
I only had two beers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I had like five. But and I didn't have any water like soda but, like in the middle of it. And I just can't do that anymore.
No, you shouldn't.
Woke up with a headache. Couldn't do anything for like the first half.
You need
half
to learn
of the day.
How to drink better.
Yeah.
At your advanced age.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You get old. And I don't drink that often. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not
really something I want to practice that much.
What if you just like say, okay, I'm going to unwind, watch the wrestling for the evening. I'm going to have a couple beers. Do you ever do that?
No, it doesn't really. I would rather open up some Oreos, man. Yeah, I know. I'm childlike. I don't know what to tell you. No, I like having beers when I go out. But like when I'm in, I usually don't drink that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to drink less this year just because if I'm going to get Finn Balor body. I need to drink less.
You need to put on a lot of muscle. How much do you think he weighs?
He's listed at like 195 or something like that. I don't think he weighs that much.
Like 185.
180.
So you need
185.
Pack on like 20 pounds of muscle, my friend.
Oh, 15, 20.
Yeah, man.
I'm trying.
Hey,
I'm trying to eat more.
You know what? There you go.
Goals.
Goals, man. Goals. Anyways, somebody here in chat asked, is Drunk Steve best Steve? You haven't seen
than Glasses Steve.
Yeah, but you haven't seen yeah, you haven't seen me actually drunk in like probably a very long
time. Yeah,
probably since my wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been that drunk in a very long time. Anyways, we should probably talk about wrestling and not,
yeah,
like,
I suppose
problems with not drinking. This is kind of huge. This is really interesting. New Japan, is this hubris? Is this like needling the WWE? Or is this? I don't feel like anybody in New Japan needles. I don't think
no.
that there's any pettiness in what they do.
No.
I think it's all on the board.
No, I think this is
above board.
I think this is potentially some sound business strategy.
This is something a lot of people are probably going to be like, "Oh, that's never going to happen." I could see this coming to fruition in the next 5 years.
Yeah, maybe.
I totally could. So why don't you tell us what's going
on?
All
right. So New Japan Pro Wrestling's, I think it's their CEO,
mm-hmm.
Takaaki Kidani,
mm-hmm.
Was recently interviewed by Tokyo Sports. And he spoke quite a bit about it was the interview was centered around Wrestle Kingdom 12. So he spoke about, you know, like the year prior and how the growth of New Japan has been fairly exponential.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. And when talk turned to future plans, Kidani said, you know, with revenues up, we're going to start looking to pay wrestlers more.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that also, he wants to continue to bring in wrestlers with WWE experience to New Japan until, quote, the other side, I'm assuming WWE, mm-hmm. says, quote, let's get along.
Ooh, yeah.
So I don't know if this necessarily indicates that Kidani or New Japan is open to some serious partnership with WWE.
Talent exchange.
But something like that. I think probably they see the success of Jericho, Omega, Alpha versus Omega.
Yeah.
Was a huge success, not only in terms of the PR department, in terms of bringing New Japan in front of some new eyeballs, but also the match was really good.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
And as we're going to talk about in the next story, it seems like Jericho's sticking around for a bit longer. Maybe he had a really good time.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah. But this is potentially pretty huge if say, New Japan starts bringing in people who used to work with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if Batista's like, WWE, whatever. You know, if they're going to give me my feud with Hunter, I want to do something else. He goes New Japan.
Yeah.
CM Punk, what if he decides to get up on this UFC hobby he's trying to turn into a career?
That's usually my burn that I like to give out.
Yes. And says, you know, I want to get back in the ring. The whole lawsuit thing with WWE, that's going to keep that from happening here in the States, or at least with WWE. I'm going to go to New Japan. Or what I'm hoping for is when Daniel Bryan doesn't get cleared by WWE, his contract expires, he decides, I want to wrestle more. I'll go to Ring of Honor, but also, I want to go to New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That is all huge.
Here's where it would be, in my opinion, here's where it would be biggest. Now, I'm kind of like, I just said, yeah, you can see this happening in the next 5 years. The aspect of the partnership. But now that I think about it, I don't know what criteria it would take for the WWE to take New Japan seriously as a possible competitor. And I think that would matter a lot. They don't want to be helping somebody else who could be taking some of their market share.
Yeah, obviously.
However, and on top of that, I'm not sure that there are that many people out there watching New Japan that don't watch the WWE. So the question would be, what's really in it for the WWE? Would it be that?
I'll tell you what's in it for WWE.
Goodwill.
Cool points.
Yeah, cool points matter. They kind of matter.
Because right now, New Japan and Bullet Club have the corner market cornered in wrestling. When it comes to cool,
they need to get some of their freaking, you know, make WWE a lot cooler. They got some of the designers, some of the design gurus that New Japan has.
Heck, they just hired whoever does Seth Rollins' Wrestling Academy shirts.
I know. Oh, I know. It's ridiculous. Anybody who does the Young Buck stuff.
Yeah.
I think let's say though WWE doesn't really want to play ball and they say, hey, no, you know what? We don't necessarily want to put you guys out of business, but we want to keep you guys in check. And by sending by sending, you know, Finn Balor over there to have some shenanigans with Bullet Club, that might, you know, that's just going to turn more people onto your product, which is fantastic. I think competition is a great thing. I think that anything that's going to allow that, or that's going to force the WWE into stepping up their game,
yes,
is going to, you know, benefit us, the fans. I think it's probably going to, it's more likely to be a bigger deal when the talent that's currently there, and you kind of mentioned this with Daniel Bryan, but the people who are there, when it turns into more of a Lex Luger showing up at the Mall of America situation, when, ooh, this guy's contract is coming up, we all have New Japan, and hopefully they'll get a good streaming app for the PS4, for the Roku, for the Apple TV. When you can flip over to New Japan and get like a fully English language experience, number one, because I think I've said before that's a big deal, and Mark Cuban even said that's a big deal. When there's the possibility that we can be surprised, or the idea that a Jericho coming to New Japan, when that promo video played, if something like that could happen on a regular basis, that'll be really exciting. And then you have a situation where WWE is forced to step their game up to ensure that A,
they can be a destination for people from New Japan, which they already kind of are.
They
to
are,
some
but,
degree.
But we've seen with some of the recent arrivals to main roster, most probably notably Nakamura, that getting to the WWE main roster isn't necessarily the what they thought it might have been.
Well,
especially given his experience at NXT, he goes to main, and it seems like they don't know what to do with him, or they don't have anything for him.
I know, but it's also I agree with that. But at the same time, he can't be too disappointed. We have really high standards for him.
Oh, we do,
and I'm sure he has high standards for himself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he was, if you think about it, for like what, 2 years, you know, when he was doing the house show circuit for NXT, he was wrestling in, I'm not going to say high school gymnasiums, but in 1,000-person, you know,
Small venues.
Small venues. And now he's, you know, at this stage, and right now he's the, you know, he's one of the favorites to win the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think that he's too. I take your point, but it's also miles ahead of where it was, you know, 5 years ago when you'd bring in a big name from Japan and Vince would be like, oh, let's put him down here in the, you know, on main event, you know, something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure from Nakamura's standpoint too, is he did everything he probably could in New Japan, and so I totally understand why he'd want to go.
Oh, absolutely,
to be in challenge himself.
And the thing is, I think the perception like that they treat Nakamura. Let me ask you something: who has a better lot right now, Nakamura or Kevin Owens? Kind of on par. It's not an easy answer.
Kevin Owens slightly because he's on TV every week.
Yeah, I know. But once Nakamura, I know. But it's creative, you know? I mean, if creative got their act together, they got their act together. It's not like Vince views Nakamura as like some jobber.
I would hope not, yeah.
It's just a matter, I don't believe so, and I don't think he's treated that way. You know, he's up there with Randy Orton in terms of how view him because he's always tagging with him. So I don't know. I think this will be a bigger deal. Not necessarily, it'll be a huge deal if WWE decides to, you know, say, hey, let's do some talent exchange in New Japan. Cool points are one thing, maybe. I don't know if Vince would ever be cool with that. Now, Triple H might.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's precedent because WWE had a relationship with New Japan up until 1985.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because Hogan was going back and forth between WWF and New Japan back then.
Pretty huge difference in landscapes, though. When you have, I just don't know. Like, I could see Triple H perhaps thinking, yeah, I find it funny that all these Bullet Club shirts are out there. We should try to get a piece of that, which is a legitimate way. You know, that's a good business way of thinking. Maybe Vince feel the same way. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, they've entered into some kind of maybe casual working relationship with Progress. ICW.
Yeah.
Centered around the United Kingdom division.
And if they look at New Japan and think, man, you know, they're not. New Japan has a lot of cool points. We could benefit from that, which I think is, again, a legitimate way of thinking. If they have that point of view and they think to themselves, well, New Japan realistically is never going to overtake WWE, then they could absolutely feel like, man, this is a great way to benefit.
Yeah.
And, you know, build a relationship with them. And, yeah, I don't know. It could be interesting.
But, well, you know, there was a while where Vince was helping out Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I know.
ECW float created a different situation because there's WCW in
the
equation.
I just kind of wonder if post-WCW...
Well, I think the major shift now is WWE is a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kind of the bottom line has to be top priority.
Yeah.
To keep shareholders happy and keep the board happy.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. But, you know, do they want to be giving any sort of assistance to anything that could be viewed as a competitor?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because at one point, WCW wasn't viewed as a competitor, and then they were.
Yeah. No, know? I know. But then if it could potentially affect bottom line, then no, they won't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. A lot of interesting things in this interview here, though. Mm-hmm. The idea that in 2012, I think it was almost 6 years ago, the New Japan Fan Club, which, by the way, why am I not a member of that?
Yeah, same here.
I didn't know that was a real thing. Can we join that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know how to.
Can we start? If there's not an American version, can we start one?
I'm sure we could, but I don't know if we'd be officially recognized by New Japan.
Can we start doing New Japan zines? Like an old school fan club.
Okay.
It was completely unauthorized. We just put out zines.
Sure.
Some fanfic. Jay White fanfic.
That's good.
Yeah, how he became Switchblade. Back in 2012, the fan club had less than 2,000 members, and now membership figures are at 12,000. I thought I saw on Twitter, did you see this, how many more subs they got for New Japan World? I think it was like 25,000 more.
Yeah.
Just for Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a pretty big number.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah. And yeah, with all that money, they'll be able to pay more. I mean, that's going to be the big deal. Is like when it's always good when like a new avenue opens up for wrestlers. And the more New Japan really does, picture of Kenny is great. Look at him. He's all, aw. Anyways.
Anyways, what were you going to say? I was trying to find information as far as joining the New Japan
the fan club, man.
But I can't find anything here.
Have you just tried Googling New Japan fan club?
Well,
wrestling fan club.
I went to the English language website to see if there was any help to us.
Nothing. Got nothing. There's a New Japan Pro Wrestling Reddit, but I don't think it's a fan club.
No.
I was on the Star Trek Discovery Reddit last night, man, because the new episode dropped last night.
Good?
It's good, man. It's really good.
No, I saw what you put on Twitter. I saw what you put on Twitter.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway. Speaking of New Japan, we had some fallout from New Year's Dash we should probably talk about.
We had some people asking if we're going to do a write-up on or a
review of that.
Yeah, no, I didn't have time to watch it.
No, neither did I. But we did see what happened, and it's worth talking about for sure.
Oh, for sure.
What?
Sorry. A couple people were mentioning this in chat, and yeah, to kind of interesting little bit of, you know, trivia nowadays. Pete Dunne, Will Ospreay.
Oh, yeah.
A WWE champion.
Taking on an IWGP champion.
For the first time. They're having a show soon.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But that's just sort of happenstance.
Yeah. So, a brief rundown of the major angles coming out of New Year's Dash. We had some tension between Bullet Club leader Kenny Omega and Cody.
Ends, man. Never ends.
I know. It seems to kind of flare up, and they, you know, simmer down, flare up and simmer
down. I'm loving Cody's character, though.
Yeah.
Especially, he did such a... Dyeing his hair bleach blonde was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he looks like a prick.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great. The work he's doing is so... Like, his character work and with Brandy. I saw so many people on Twitter.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
So many people on Twitter just hate them. And I'm like, they are doing such a good job.
Them doing their job well.
And getting them to hate them.
Yep.
Because that match he had with Cody, he had the crossroads onto nothing.
I know. No, it was onto something. It was on the floor.
I know. I like calling it onto nothing because once you disappear off the apron,
then you're kind of in this nether realm.
You're in this nether realm, exactly. Yeah.
So the setup for this was there was a tag match, and then Cody and the rest of Bullet Club were about to beat the heck out of Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, man.
Kenny Omega comes to the ring and makes the save for Kota.
Yeah.
Tempers flare. They start pushing, arguing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny says, "You know what's going to unite us? Jay White joining Bullet Club." The recap I read. Out comes Jay White. He puts the shirt on, swerves him.
He pulls a DDP.
He does.
Yeah,
and
great.
Then about 2 days later, he joins Chaos.
Yeah.
And a press conference
with
Okada.
With Okada, little baby. So he's like the, 22nd member of Chaos now?
Something like that.
They roll Chaos so deep, huge. Man. They roll too deep.
Also, to close the show, LIJ beat Chaos in a tag match. Afterwards, I think Naito dropped a promo.
Mm.
Chris Jericho came out and attacked him.
Yeah, so
we're getting Jericho versus Naito, it seems, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Wrestling Observer himself, ooh, Dave Meltzer, on a recent episode of Wrestling Observer Radio, I think he speculated that at least Jericho will probably stick around until the end of March, because that match, Naito versus Jericho, he thinks will probably happen at Strong Style Evolve March 25th. In Long Beach, California.
Tickets go on sale in 21 days on January 29th, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm aiming for front row. Are we going to do
cool.
the thing where you're on your laptop and I'm on my laptop?
Yeah, we can work on that, yeah.
Make sure we're here with good internet.
Yeah, it's on a Monday.
Go, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, hey.
Stay after the Rumble.
Do we know what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did you say stay after the Rumble? Oh, the day after the
day
Rumble.
Day after the Rumble.
You said they stay after the sale. Rumble. We're just going to sit here at...
All night, no.
Night, yeah.
Hitting refresh.
10 o'clock in the morning Pacific time?
Yes.
We're there, man. Front row.
Yeah.
We're going to aim for that.
Aim I like
for
it.
The best, people. Aim for the best. So, yeah, Jericho's going to be sticking around. That's cool. Apparently, also, according to Wrestling Observer himself, doesn't look like Jericho's going to be able to make it to Mania.
Or the Rumble. He's got tour dates.
Yeah.
Both those days.
Yeah. So that's cool. I wonder who's going to be next to join New Japan.
Oh, that's right. Manuel Garcia de Paredes said they also teased Suzuki versus Tanahashi.
Oh, that's right. That was big. Yeah. So I think that was one of our possible scenarios.
Yeah, for Wrestle Kingdom.
Right. Wait, for Wrestle Kingdom?
We did it. We did a
countout. When we did our
countout, about 10 matches we think we're going to see at Wrestle Kingdom.
No, I think
12.
Coming out in our Wrestle Kingdom review, I think we said, how are they going to get that
maybe.
Title off Tanahashi?
Could be.
Suzuki is a very likely,
yes,
because Tanahashi needs to
he needs
to rest
break.
Up.
He needs a break.
He's got a bum leg, bum bicep,
arm.
Yeah, it's all a mess. You know who I'd love to see in New Japan? Neville. Do you know who doesn't want to see Neville in New Japan?
Enzo, how you doing?
How you doing?
So Enzo recently spoke to The Sun.
Which one is the publication that you have to take with a grain of salt?
I think it's The Sun.
Yeah, but this purports to be an actual interview.
This says it's an actual interview with the actual WWE Cruiserweight
champion. So I would doubt that they would make this interview up.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. But,
we don't live in England, so we don't know what they do.
We don't know. Anyways, the article kicks off with something kind of interesting. Saying, quote, Neville, has been in talks with wrestling chiefs ever since his departure.
What is a wrestling chief?
I think just someone in charge of WWE.
Okay.
So Vince. However, it looks like his time with the WWE is over and he will be released. This feels like speculation.
That is pretty definitive, son. Let's keep it to the facts, okay?
Yeah, that seems like speculation. Anyways. Yeah. But it continues, but his cruiserweight rival Amore has urged him to stay with the company, demanding he come back to 205 Live so they can feud. And this seems like based on something Enzo said. Here's some quotes from Enzo, because he just spoke very highly of Neville.
Yeah, man. Thing.
He said, quote, Neville is one of my favorite pros in the business. He carried NXT with that title and was a tag team champion. Then he worked the 205 division with the hardest schedule in silence. He was working Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Mondays and Tuesdays. I hope Neville comes back and we feud. I have never seen a guy work like he does.
That warms my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love when I hear guys talking about other guys in that way.
Putting him over, man. Yep.
I think it's great. We kind of heard this not that long ago that contrary to what, you know, it appeared on the surface of things. Granted, it's a fictional TV show. Enzo and Neville are Enzo considered Neville a friend.
Yeah. Also in his article, he said that he traveled with Neville. For
okay. Okay. That's awesome, and B, that's really cool that Enzo Amore, whatever stroke he might have in the back, he's putting to good use getting one of our favorite wrestlers.
Yes, Neville.
Neville.
Back with the company.
Back with.
Despite the speculation of The Sun here saying that Neville's on the verge of being released.
Yeah.
Which I have a hard time believing is going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I really think that they would do the thing.
Or they pay him just to
sit at home
until his contract expires, and then maybe extend it a little bit because... Like they did with, granted, Mysterio was hurt, but when Mysterio's contract ran out, they extended a couple extra months because of injury. So maybe they'll try to do the same with him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if they have any grounds for that.
I don't know.
But I'm sure they're going to keep him, if he's not going to come back, they're going to keep Neville on the sideline for as long as possible.
Mm, I think so. Just let cooler heads prevail. Oh, man. Get a mediator in there. You know,
An arbitrator.
Jim Ross stepped in there with Stone Cold and Mr. McMahon.
True.
You know, speculate power rank right now. Mediators, arbitrators for Neville and the WWE. Number one's got to be Enzo Amore.
It seems like it.
Right? He says, How you doing? Shake hands.
Yeah.
Let's make some money together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
got some great shirts for you.
Drew Gulak using a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, I love it.
It's 10 reasons why you should bring back Neville 205 Live PowerPoint presentation.
I like that. Who is Neville a tag team champion with?
Corey Graves.
That's right. There's number three, Corey Graves. He seems like a smart, articulate fella.
Yes.
He's got lots of cool tattoos. Sometimes his hair is a little too high.
But he is a snazzy dresser.
Oh, and he's a dapper individual.
Mm-hmm.
So have him put his, you know... I just ran out of steam. I don't know what
I did. Was that number three?
That was number three. We need two more.
Four. Who? Oh, John Cena. He seems to be a very objective person.
Let's have a two-hour formal dinner where we'll discuss terms.
And then he will deliberate in his study for anywhere between 1 and 3 hours. Right. And he will emerge from that room with a decision.
Exactly.
A binding decision.
A binding decision.
All parties must adhere to. John Cena.
Yeah. And finally, number five. How about this? Titus. Titus Worldwide.
Good.
This guy is already adept at making deals. Even better, it's in kayfabe. So it's got to be
I like
good.
All that. Yeah. That's all good.
Titus Worldwide. But it would not mean that Neville would have to join Titus Worldwide.
Because
that's a recipe for, you know, main event status. Although, I might want to start watching main event. Dana Brooke. Picked up a huge win over Mickie James in the main event. I think this past weekend. I don't know. I saw some gifs from it. And they were celebrating like crazy. They were making that win on Main Event.
That's what every seemed like a deal. Yeah, that's good.
What every superstar should do.
Oh yeah.
Whatever show you're on, if it's on TV or even if it's a dark match, make it the biggest deal possible. Mm-hmm. You know,
it is important to you. It'll be important to the crowd.
Remember what they said in WCW? How they were like, they didn't have time. I think it was Jericho who said this. I could be wrong. So they don't have time to give me the mic in the ring at first. So I said, can I get on the mic on my way down to the ring on the entrance, you know, during my entrance. And that eventually got him more time in the ring on the mic. You got to make opportunities. This is in life and in wrestling.
You got to make your opportunities.
Exactly. Make your own opportunities.
Let's talk about someone else potentially getting an opportunity.
Yeah. Look at these segues, man. We're the kings of segues.
We're on point today.
Can I get a two sweet for the segue? No.
No. What do you think about Finn Balor? First, generally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Great.
Hey, hold on a second.
What?
I know we've kind of mentioned this on the show, but I kind of want to mention this again. Hashtag Demon Boss. What the heck? We literally came up with the Demon Boss character here on set 2 months ago. And then Sasha dubbed the team in their Mixed Match Challenge video.
Demon Boss, I know.
Demon Boss! We did it already.
Who's
watching the show?
I know.
Is it Sasha?
Maybe.
We interviewed her a couple times. Maybe she's got an affinity for Going In Raw.
We should ask her. Legit Boss, do you watch the show?
Sasha, take a look at this still from our show and show her demon. Look, we did this first. Confirmed. Sasha Banks.
Anyways, yes, Finn is great. What do you think about the idea of Finn Balor going to SmackDown Live TV?
Well, he kind of teased this on the house show circuit by wearing all blue.
True.
Blue Balor.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's a great idea. According to Raja.com, they are reporting there might be talks of Finn Balor going to the blue brand to set up a huge.
Massive.
Huge.
Enormous.
Massive WrestleMania 34 match. Is it against Baron Corbin?
No.
Jinder Mahal.
Raja.com is saying, quote, if Balor wins the Rumble, they say, he might win the Rumble.
Might be winning the Rumble.
One scenario could see him either get his title shot at Elimination Chamber or switch brands and face AJ Styles at WrestleMania 34, the company playing up the fact that he beat Styles last year on a pay-per-view. I think I brought up the scenario maybe a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm. Could
completely explain why they put Balor back with Gallows and Anderson, build up that story on Raw a little bit, have him win the Rumble, go to AJ, feud over that title, get the club involved. It's all good stuff. There's so many.
It writes itself.
It really does.
And then you can even throw Nakamura in there. It writes itself.
It really does.
You want to start playing good with New Japan, then feature their stars. I don't know. I mean, come on, man. This stuff all writes itself. The crowd, they could book this in a way that the crowd would go absolutely ape.
Yep. Yep.
Roman Reigns doesn't have to be in the Rumble this year. He can defend his stupid IC title the Rumble.
Yeah.
Then that can preclude him from being in the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know.
No, he's going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah, I know he's going to be in
the Rumble. They're going to have that Elimination Chamber match. In the Elimination Chamber, I'm guessing the winner of that is going to be number one contender.
I love this. I think it'd be great. I was thinking about there are certain times when a guy is on a brand, ever since they started doing the brand split thing, there are certain times when a guy is just like, man, he would fit so perfect on the other brand, you know? And I can't think of anybody, male or female, man or woman, who would benefit from a brand switch more than him.
Yeah.
You know, him going to Finn Balor.
Him and the club.
Him and the club going to SmackDown would be so much money, man.
It'd be great.
It'd be fantastic.
We should add, though, Raja.com, the last time we used one of their rumors was the story of Bayley's SummerSlam angle, where it's all about her kissing a guy for the first time.
Yeah.
So, not to say that wasn't talked about backstage.
Yeah.
Obviously never came to fruition, thankfully.
Didn't actually happen.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's great.
But it doesn't mean to say it wasn't actually talked about backstage.
In this case, if it doesn't happen, bad. this is my favorite. This is my favorite scenario.
What would you rather see, this or Daniel Bryan cleared to take on AJ Styles at Mania?
Oh, man. I don't know. Probably this. Daniel Bryan.
It seems more likely. I feel like if they're going to clear Daniel Bryan, they're going to have him in a match against Shane.
Oh, God, that'd be terrible. I had one other point to make about this. I don't know. I think it'd be great.
It would be great.
So like, here's one thing about having to take this with a grain of salt, though. I'm not going to talk about like who is in the betting odds for the Royal Rumble, but unless we were to see Because the betting odds stuff does seem to be leaked info.
It's not as conclusive as it was
once
in the past.
Was, yeah.
Because a year ago, it was surefire lock that the last update on betting odds was who was going to win.
Yeah, right.
And this
right.
year, I don't know if it's, they've squashed the leaks or they're feeding people disinformation or or what. It hasn't been as conclusive as it was a year ago.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
starting around SummerSlam this year, it's there's been some variance in the actual winners and who the betting odds say were going to win.
Vince killed whoever was leaking the info.
Probably not.
Probably not. He's not a, you know, ooh, man, that's rough. Yeah, now, speaking of Bayley kissing guys, Vince apparently has given up on Bayley altogether, so she's not kissing anybody.
Yeah, this is on a Wrestling Observer Radio episode. Dave Meltzer speculated that Vince might be already over Bayley.
Sometimes Meltzer, like, speculates.
Yeah, some of the evidence used for his basis of speculation is not exactly that great. Yeah. Anyways, this is what the Wrestling Observer himself had to say. Quote, they have already given up on her. And they've given up on her for a...
And they've given up on
her a long, long time ago. When they're going to protect Mickie James over you. Now, you just mentioned that Mickie James lost to Dana Brooke on Main Event, correct?
Yeah.
All right. I'll continue. When Mickie James was brought in to be a filler to lose on the roster, that just tells you the dice has been cast with her already.
Now, is this a reference to... Now, I'm not... I haven't followed every Mickie James match. There is Main Event. There's some other stuff that I haven't, but I know she had like a
she
match.
She was in a program with Alexa Bliss.
With Alexa Bliss that made her look
she
really good.
She picked up some wins in tag matches, I think.
Yeah. Didn't she win it? Did she win a non-title match against Alexa Bliss?
Probably.
Maybe.
But then she lost the title match.
Yeah. I don't view, like, you know, we keep a pretty close eye on the product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't view Mickie James as being protected over Bayley at all. On top of that, here's one thing I looked up. Because I do. I remember this article from Forbes talking about merchandise sales.
Yeah.
It was from February. Bayley at the time, and this is February, so it's kind of not relevant to today. But Bayley at the time was like, in terms, they did this Google Trends shopping search
thing. Yeah.
Just give an idea. She was like the fourth highest trending Google shopping WWE person there was. And then I went ahead and on Google Trends myself, and I compared the shopping trends for Bayley, Sasha Banks, Paige, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. And Paige, and this is for the past 90 days, so more relevant to us. Paige is like huge, huge high. That's kind of, that makes sense because she's still riding this wave of, oh, her, it's her big return.
Yeah.
She's in a big spot. After that is Sasha Banks, not a huge surprise. She's supremely over. After that is Bayley, and then Becky Lynch, and then Charlotte. So, I mean, she's in there. She's not like her merchandise. And that's always a good sort of indication as to where somebody stands on the list of priorities. Because it's like, man, if their merchandise is selling, that means that they're getting over with the crowd.
Yes.
You know? I mean, there's a bunch of other factors involved.
Yeah, yeah. If they're selling merch and shows that they're involved in are getting filled up, if they're making money for the company, then they're being given the benefits of doing so.
They're going to have a spotlight on them.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't see it. I see...
I mean, in terms of them taking her out of the title picture, given how it went the first time with Bliss and the horrible, horrible, horrible creative, probably a good idea. Take her out of that picture for a while. You know, kind of hit the refresh button. Get back to basics with Bayley because her run in NXT was great. We went to NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Behind Nakamura, who's the most over wrestler at that show? Bayley. It was Bayley.
Yeah. And here's my thing. I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, it's obvious that her big push, you know, in terms of her title scene picture push is, you know, on the back burner right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure if it's going to come back anytime soon without a brand switch. But it's like, you know, she's fared better than Becky Lynch. She's, you know, I kind of think that she's on equal grounds in terms of being pushed as Sasha Banks.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
There's not a huge difference. And she's not in the middle of like a really terrible storyline, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned that with the This Is Your Life, Bayley.
Oh, the Alexa Bliss storyline with her
it was awful.
The creative was horrible.
And so people aren't booing her anymore. I do kind of feel like the optimist in me, and maybe this is ridiculous to think, I hope not, but the optimist in me does think that maybe they're just letting her cool down. I mean, we kind of get a read on WWE. Sometimes it's easy to overthink things. Oh, they're hitting the reset button. No, maybe they're just saying, well, you know, we think we probably can make some money off her. let's just, you know, we have other priorities right now. We're not going to bury her. We're not going to, you know, give her a bunch of, we're not going to have her lose to Dana Brooke on main event, which is what happened to Mickey James, the person who Dave Meltzer is evidently saying that is being protected over Bayley, which doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
You know, she's still prominently featured in the women's division.
She's on TV
pretty much
every week.
It's always her, Sasha, Nia Jax, and Alexa Bliss, and now Asuka. I think with Asuka there that and Paige there, that title's going to be wrapped up between those two and probably Nia Jax for a little while. Yeah. So like I said, a brand switch could probably help Bayley. I mean, if she went over there, she would instantly be the number two. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be Charlotte and her.
Mm-hmm. It'll be Charlotte, her, and Becky Lynch. Be a top three.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you think about how they're being used, like, yeah, Becky Lynch, big return last week.
Yeah.
Could I see her in a title picture anytime soon? I don't know. I wish it'd be cool. I like Becky Lynch.
Well, I think a Charlotte Becky program would be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, it'd be great. But you know, Bayley immediately would be a big name over there. It's kind of like the Finn Balor thing. If she goes over to SmackDown, whenever somebody shows up on a new brand, their profile immediately is raised. They get a new opportunity for a new push. I could see that with Bayley.
Here's the problem with, I just thought of this, of Balor going to SmackDown, the Mixed Match Challenge. He's teaming with Sasha Banks, and that runs through, I think it's 12 weeks, starting next week.
Yeah, but dude, that's non-canon. That doesn't matter. That's on Facebook. Nobody's on Facebook.
I'm just saying it could be a roadblock.
I don't think Vince would let that. Do you ever see Vince saying, you know, hey, Dad, we can't put Finn over on SmackDown. We can't have world title plans for Finn because of Mixed Match Challenge. What's that?
Well, he said he was putting everything into this show for the Mixed Match Challenge thing, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
For us, it's not a high priority, but it sounds like for Vince it is.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be fun and everything. I saw that you saw the video with The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I like about the...
Seems like they're not telling people in advance who their partners are.
I don't think they're telling people in advance. The person they're interviewing at first.
Yes.
Like with Rusev.
Oh, he seemed like he was completely unaware. I mean, it seems to make the most sense in the world for him to team up with Lana, but
I know.
It wasn't official.
And you know,
the reaction when it's officially announced is very charming.
You know what's also very charming is the idea that I think that Rusev and Lana are really liked backstage by the higher-ups because they haven't split them up on brands. I hate when they do that, when they split like real couples. And, well, you know, it was Paige and Alberto because that was weird. But, when they split up couples by brand. Like, it's good to see that what you saw was married to Naomi.
Jimmy
and Naomi.
And they were just announced as a team over the weekend.
I know. I like that. It's nice when they do nice things.
It is.
We all like nice things.
We do like nice things.
Anyways, let's do a Raw preview, and then we'll open the floor to questions.
Yeah, we got a couple super chats. We'll get to those after a Raw preview here. First of all, from WWE.com, The Miz is back on Raw tonight.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to get right back in the Intercontinental title picture?
Is he going to attack Roman Reigns or something?
I don't
know. Roman's in the middle of something. Isn't Roman with something in Samoa Joe right now?
Well, he just beat Joe clean last week.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was a good match. But Finn's been in a feud with Miztourage, so maybe we're going to see
The
Club versus Miztourage.
Oh, that could be fun.
Could be.
That could be fun. Next challenger for... And that's a much better feud for Finn Balor than, like, you know, Curt Hawkins.
Yes.
Next challenger for Reigns' IC title...
This is what WWE.com is teasing.
Yeah. So
who will be the next challenge to Roman Reigns?
And they have a video of him fighting Samoa Joe.
Yeah. So I have a feeling whoever Reigns has a match against tonight, Joe's going to get involved. I don't think Joe's out of the picture yet.
I don't think Joe's out of the picture, man. I think he wants that thing.
He does. We're going to get more Kane Braun stuff.
What's the official thing?
Will Team Red's Titans wreak havoc once again?
Ooh.
Yeah, probably.
Kane.
They need more destruction.
Yeah, I know.
Between the two of them.
That's what works so well for the SummerSlam build, this destruction. I think Kane is too, I don't know.
He's mayoral?
Yeah.
He's running for public office. So
he's approaching Braun Strowman backstage saying.
He did pretty much try to kill Braun at a TLC.
Braun.
He threw him in the dumpster. In
hey,
the garbage
Braun,
truck.
I have an idea.
It's just the Undertaker. It's just Undertaker.
I can't do Kane.
Also, it sounds
you know
like
how frustrating it is not to be able to do
Finn and
course.
The club are going to stick around as a team for a while.
Yeah, man. Give me too sweet for
no.
the Really? No too sweet for the club?
No.
But it makes Finn so happy, and Finn's your favorite.
Well, he's not my favorite, but I like Finn.
You love Finn.
I like Finn.
I think there's been a try. I think you like Finn more than I like Finn now.
Could be.
Maybe.
Once I got a good feeling of who Finn was as a man Finn.
The regular dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Raw.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate just... Finn Balor.
Oh, big time.
Far more than Demon Balor.
Seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
With good priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa and Asuka might have some stuff. The official title on the preview is,
how will Alexa Bliss bounce back from her defeat to Asuka? Do you think there's a chance they're going to put that belt on Asuka at the Rumble? I mean, she's already declared for the Rumble. But do you think they're going to fast forward to just having a title match between the two of them at Rumble?
Or are they
just doing some long-term storytelling?
I think there's less of a chance that they're going to take Asuka out of the Rumble to do a title match than there is they would have Finn switch brands. I think there's more of a chance that they would have Finn switch brands than Asuka then pull out of the Rumble.
Okay.
They made such a big deal about her declaring.
And they're making such a huge deal about her being in it.
For the Rumble, yeah.
But that, you know, we kind of expected some sort of swerve potentially. Maybe that's a swerve, is that in the end she gets a title shot at Rumble instead of, say, Nia Jax.
I mean, that could be, man. Vince wakes up and he could make a change in his decision.
True. Also this week, finally, we're getting our cruiserweight title match between Enzo and Cedric Alexander. Who you got? Who's winning? I'm saying Enzo retains, cheating or DQ, and then Cedric gets it at the Rumble.
I'm going to go with Enzo until I see definitive proof that you can always kind of tell when somebody is destined to win that title. And I don't see any more of a spotlight on Cedric than I did on Kalisto when he was challenging Enzo.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave Kalisto a lot of time and mic time, but I didn't feel like they ever connected. And I feel like Cedric's starting to connect a bit.
I think he's starting to connect.
And that's why
I don't know if he's going to be there in 2 weeks, though.
But I think
two weeks away.
I think they need to hold off until those 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. 2 weeks.
Closer to three. 3 weeks from yesterday is the Rumble. Give it the time.
3 weeks from yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Have Cedric be on the verge of winning. Have the Zotrain cost him the belt. And then take another 2 weeks, build up that story, give Cedric his moment at the Rumble.
205 Live was at number 11, I think, in the ratings last week.
That sounds right.
So, I don't know. In my opinion, there's nobody who's so overwhelmingly like the guy that can take that title off of Enzo in terms of character, in terms of force of personality that the WWE, I think, likes that Enzo has that title on.
Yeah, but I think
Once that title's gone, the Zotrain theoretically should be done with.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
But I think what they're doing with Cedric is they're not focusing so much on his personality. They're just having him be in really good matches.
Yeah, and win a lot. Yeah.
And that's really booking the lumbar check is
right.
Devastating.
I think it's picking up. I just think it's like a month away from being at the point where it needs to be.
I think his what he was doing, 2 weeks ago on 205 Live, trying to drive wedges between members of the Zotrain, I think that's the route to go in terms of his character.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks might be enough time for that to culminate in finally winning.
It could be probably not tonight. Maybe the Rumble, maybe tonight. It'd be really interesting tonight if Drew tried to interfere on Enzo's behalf.
And cost him.
End up costing him, which is ridiculous because there's no way, like, Cedric should beat Enzo cleanly.
Yeah, that's what I think it has to be. If Cedric's going to win the belt, it needs to be clean.
Yeah, but at the same time, if Drew does something that interferes with Enzo trying to cheat, then it could still be clean. I could see that, and then maybe Drew and Enzo getting into a thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
That seems inevitable, though.
Yeah. So tonight, I'm going to say, screw it, tonight. This is not official predictions. I'm going to say Cedric wins that tonight.
I'd like to see that.
Interference from Drew, and then the rematch at the Rumble.
I would like to see
Cedric. I want to see Cedric in the Rumble, man.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
We got a couple
super chats. What if he lumbar checked Braun Strowman?
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And Braun sold it by bouncing off Cedric's legs and jumping over the top rope. Yeah,
physically, that's literally impossible to happen.
But kayfabe, Steve.
He would probably destroy Cedric's hips.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We got a few super chats. First, Gustavo Gama. He says TIO, which...
Yeah, he wants you to take it off, dude.
It's cold. I'm not going to do that. It's cold and rainy today. Damon Cruz, $2. Do you guys keep up with Being the Elite? You watch it somewhat, right?
I watch it on a somewhat regular basis. I don't remember enough. Those boys are prolific. They put out like at least one a week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the latest one is, I think, the Wrestle Kingdom
Fallout, right?
Yeah, and they hang their jerseys from the rafters. They do that.
At Kirk and Hall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it
cool.
It just shows them, like, toss some little shirts over the rafters, and it says 7 on them.
That's funny.
And that's it.
Ryan Sanderson, £2. Power Rank.
Power Rank. Power
Best
Rank.
Possible Balor Feuds. Oh, AJ.
Oh, yeah, man. Go right into AJ. I mean, dude, you have
Finn
AJ.
Finn versus AJ with the club involved?
Dude, come on. You have AJ. You've got Nakamura. Mm-hmm. There's my top two. Finn versus Kevin Owens.
Great.
Finn versus Sami Zayn.
Great.
It's all great.
Baron Corbin.
Not as great.
Hey.
Hey.
I can do good feud.
Hey.
Anybody else got questions?
We'll open up questions now in the last couple minutes of our podcast show. We have to film today, later on today on Twitch TV. Twitch.tv/Stephen Larson. We've got episode 6.
Mm-hmm. We have to do our intro for
Rebook
that after lunch.
And then on the YouTube, in a couple hours, we're going to put up...
last week's
edition. Yeah. So this week's for you.
Robert McNeely, would you rather see AJ versus Nakamura Mania or a triple threat of Balor versus AJ versus Omega? The latter is not going to happen this year, so I guess it has to be AJ Nakamura.
I'll be honest, I do not want to see Kenny Omega in WWE right now.
Nope.
So I'm going to say AJ versus Nakamura.
Yes. Holy Shibata, which promotion would Chris Jericho fight for in a WWE versus New Japan event?
Defend both sides. He wants.
Who did he fight for in the invasion angle?
I think WWE.
Was it WWE?
Yeah.
That's odd. If it's current Omega, like heel Omega, I'm gonna
Jericho.
I'm sorry, Jericho. I would say that he would be I don't know.
WWE.
Yeah, I'd say WWE. Or he's coming in to prove that everybody in New Japan sucks. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
This is interesting. Jordan Davis, guys, if Austin didn't turn heel at WrestleMania 17, do you think Triple H would have beaten Undertaker earlier tonight so Austin would have had a top heel to work after Mania?
That's interesting.
Triple H
would have beat Undertaker earlier in the night, ending the streak. You know, I don't know if the streak was really that huge of a deal back at WrestleMania 17.
It was. I think it was getting there. It was on its way. What year was 17?
2001.
2001. He'd been there for 10 years. I think it was around that time that the streak started meaning something. And then was it like the next year? When did Randy Orton face Undertaker?
Oh, it was a couple years after that.
I think some people wanted Randy Orton to win that, and Undertaker, no, and Randy Orton
said no. Yeah.
Said no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, possible. But then look at Triple H's track record at WrestleMania. It's never been all that great.
I know. It's lost a lot.
Mm-hmm. We have another super chat from Charvel Myers. $5 says we know why Montez Ford is so happy he wakes up to Bianca Belair every morning. They are a dapper couple, man. Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures of them, I think, on Instagram. They are so cute together.
Mm-hmm. Travis Dayton.
On the other
says,
hand, man, if you don't take out the garbage, Montez, you might get that.
Travis Dayton says, I want to send you guys shirts. XL and medium, right? You're XL. I'm kind of a, what's it between a large and a medium?
Medium?
Yeah.
Large.
Probably lean towards large, but some mediums I can wear.
Yeah, you get a large.
Predict ideal opponents for Taguchi, Yano, Gorillas of Destiny, and Suzuki. I think versus Tanahashi is perfect because Tanahashi needs a break. And who better to write him off than Suzuki?
Give me more Gorillas of Destiny versus Killer Elite Squad.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Taguchi.
Oh, I don't know.
Have Taguchi and Yano ever been in a feud?
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He'd be heel, though.
I don't think you need a heel on that one.
People keep on saying, oh, here we go, Steve from Meredith. See, I have like a groundswell of support, man. We've got a grassroots effort to get me to be mayor of Rancho Cordova, not you.
No, that's fine.
Me. Are you my deputy mayor?
No.
No?
I'm not really interested in getting into politics.
A lot of people want to see me stoned, too, or maybe it's just one person who says it over and over
again. They want to see you as a stoned mayor of Rancho Cordova?
I probably could do the job just fine, too. This is Rancho.
Oh, this is a good question. Suzuki, Okada, Omega, and Naito. If these faction leaders were in a four-way, who would stand tall? You got to put money in Okada.
It's Okada. He's maybe the greatest champion since Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
You know? Got to say it. If you put the Mount Rushmore wrestling, what's the Mount Rushmore wrestling? Bruno?
Flair.
Flair? Really? Flair?
Yeah.
Bruno, Flair, Hogan.
Yeah.
And then
Austin.
Okada.
Oh, you're going to take Austin out for Okada?
Yeah, man. I think I'm going to do that.
I'd probably wait 5 years before I'd do that.
He's the rainmaker.
I understand.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Yeah. I love Okada.
I
think
Okada.
He's great. He's only 29 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
But think what he's already accomplished.
Oh, man.
Give it 5 more years.
Yeah.
See what else he's done.
Jordan Davis, if Ambrose doesn't make it back for Mania, who do you guys think Seth Rollins will take on at Mania? I'm going to say probably Jason Jordan. They'll probably do the heel turn by then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Liam Wagner, would a WWE New Japan talent relations be more effective than WWE having their own division? He brings up the United Kingdom division, for example.
Would a partnership be more effective? Well, anything would be more effective than the United Kingdom division. They have, those guys just float around in limbo.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to Progress this week. Maybe I'll go to Rev Pro this week. Maybe I'll be on NXT. Thomas, who is going to beat Okada for the title?
I think it'll eventually be Naito. Made Dominion.
I think it'll be Naito. I think this is probably the beginning of his story of, like, you know, progressing, moving ahead.
Getting over his past.
Yeah.
Tranquilo.
Tranquilo. Although I could see this. Somebody says Okada won't lose until next Wrestle Kingdom. I could see them going past that, too.
Potentially.
I'm never going to bet against Okada. At this point, I'm never going to bet against him.
Yeah.
Toxic 431. I think R-Truth is underutilized. Agree or disagree? I mean, he's not on TV.
He hasn't been in a while.
He hasn't been in a while.
I think he's hurt. I think he's injured.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's perfectly utilized because he's utilizing rehab.
Nicholas Grosskirth asks, who's next for Okada? There wasn't a new opponent for him established at New Year's Dash.
Yeah.
Nobody issued a challenge. No one attacked him. Chaos did lose to LIJ in, I think, like an eight-man tag match, though.
Yeah.
And with Naito seemingly preoccupied with Jericho, well, takes Okada's, him out of the equation.
Okada's, he's fighting Sonata next.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I think they established that. Oh, I just bought a Sonata shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Which one? I like Sonata a lot.
Yeah.
But the shirt is actually really, really cool.
Did you get it when Pro Wrestling Tees was having their New Japan sale?
No, I was laying in bed the other day. I was like, I want some shirts. I got that and then one of the world's cutest tag team shirts.
Oh, cool.
It's this one here.
Oh, yeah, I seen that one.
This is No Gracias. A luchador flying towards him. Oh, my goodness. All right, a couple more questions and we're going to go.
I think Sonata Okada will be a good match, too. Sonata's
super good.
Athletic.
Yeah. Oh, Sonata choked Okada out with Skull's End. Okay,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Sonata.
There you go. Adam Darwin, if when Jericho returns to WWE, what do you think Vince's opinion would be? Do you think Vince's opinion would be negative and Jericho would turn into a Dolph role in WWE? By all accounts, Jericho gave Vince a heads up. Both Vince and Triple H, they were both cool with him wrestling Omega.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be any beef.
It's arguable.
And if there was any beef, there'd be no reason for Jericho to go back.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. If, you know, I honestly think that this is probably going to raise his stature even, even more than it already is in the WWE. Because he's got cool points coming back now.
Yeah. And also, Jericho said, unless there's something for him to really do in WWE, he's got no interest in going back just to do it.
Kadarn the Mad, if Jericho is sticking around, can you see a Naito Jericho Okada triple threat as a way for Okada to lose without being pinned? I would doubt that because, like, from what I understand, I've heard this, they don't often do triple threats. Apparently the Fatal 4-Way was kind of
an outlier.
An outlier, yeah. I've been using that word a lot lately because they say it a lot in the 538 Politics podcast.
It's a good word. I like that word.
For polls. That poll is an outlier because it doesn't jive with other polls.
Yeah, that's what outlier means.
Stable genius.
Taylor McKenzie, best surprise entry in the Rumble considering Omega's contract is up at the end of the month. We got to extinguish our minds of the thought that Kenny Omega is going to be anywhere near WWE for another year or two. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I know his contract's up at the end of the month.
I don't even want it to happen.
No, I don't either. At this point, no.
It'd kind of make a big hole in New Japan right now, and it'd be kind of awkward for him to be in WWE.
It would.
You know, there's already a bunch of guys kind of like
him. Is there any way to say about Nakamura's run so far?
He's not going to want to do that, dude.
The soonest it would happen is 2019. If he signs for another one-year deal with New Japan, the Young Bucks contract with Ring of Honor expires. If they don't jump ship then, I don't know if they ever will.
Yeah.
That's like the perfect time for them to do it because they'll all be kind of like in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
And yeah, being on the WWE is a grind from a travel perspective, but they won't have necessarily demands to put on quite as crazy matches in WWE on a consistent basis.
And Karen mentions here that Kenny and Kota Ibushi have unfinished business.
Exactly. Yeah. Which they're starting to set up a little bit.
I know. I can't wait to see that. Anyways, that's it. Hilton, can we get some music?
They see you press a button for the music.
That's a Hilton button. Anyways, thanks so much. Thank you, Hilton. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hilton, can we do the titles now?